Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. I just pray you'd open up your word. I thank you so much, dear Lord, for your word and the ability just to study. Dear Lord, I think there's only one Bible per 30 languages, dear Lord. And it's such a privilege that we can have 5 to 10 Bibles in an average American home. And many people in the world don't have one in their own language. And I just thank you for the awesome privilege it is to have many, not just one, and even the ability to openly come here and listen to your word. And thank you for the ability given us to read and write, to study. Dear Lord, those are all gifts from you, and I thank you, dear Lord, and we do not take them lightly. But we thank you, dear Lord, for just being so good to us. Just help us to be grateful and help us be good stewards of what you've given us. And ask all these things in your name. Amen. Well, we've been doing lessons on discipleship. This one will be on lesson 15, The Unsaved World. And I like what it says at the top. It says, as a Christian, how do I relate to the unsaved world? I almost give this another title. I believe it's isolationism versus separatism, or isolation versus separation. Because the Bible is very clear that the present world system is contrary to God's eternal purpose. The Word of God commands His children to be separate from this world system, yet at the same time to reach lost men and women who live in it for Jesus Christ. This lesson is designed to show Christians how to live a balanced and consistent life in order to influence people for the Lord Jesus Christ without the world influencing them for evil. See, what happens usually within Christian realms, and I'm one of my parents were saved and their parents were saved, and God's been good to my family and my heritage that I'm involved with. But one thing I have noticed within Christian families is this next subject that we talk about, the unsaved world, is the very first point is you must realize that you live for Jesus Christ, you encounter opposition from the world. What usually happens within a Christian family, and I watch this like crazy, where they're so tired of fighting the world. And you ever been there where you're just tired of fighting the world? Where it's just like every time you do something, it's just they bombard you, bombard you, bombard you. So instead of fighting it, we isolate ourselves from it. And we totally take our kids away from it. We take ourselves away from it. And instead of reaching our community, we just become keepers of aquariums. Because we're just tired of fighting. I want to take it easy. But God said there is no easy time. You will be fighting until the day you die. And if we don't equip ourselves and how to treat the unsaved world, if you don't watch it, it becomes like I say life is an opposition. It's like going against stream vehemently. Like imagine yourself, if you're in the Niagara Falls, and who's ever been to Niagara Falls? Have you ever seen the river, the Niagara River, on that point where it's 500 feet from here, it goes down so many feet, and it is unbelievable. You step out into that, it will take you. It'll just take you right down the stream. Well, as a Christian, the world is going as fast as it can to hell. It is. It's going as fast as it can. It's trying to take as many people as it with it as it can. It's trying to ruin our marriages, ruin our families, ruin everything they can. And we sit right here, and the stream is just bombarding us. But the problem is, we can't just stay where we are because what happens? You end up going backwards. That's why if you're not growing, you immediately start. If you just stay still and say, okay, I'm not going to grow, I'm not going to read my Bible, well, the stream will eventually wear you down and you will go backwards. That's why there's no such thing as if you're not growing, you're dying. Scientifically, they say if you're not growing, you're dying. Even in the spiritual world, if you're not growing, you're dying. And the problem is we oppose the unsaved world. It's bombarding us. We have to literally go against it, one foot at a time, and say, I'm not going to be like the world. I'm not going to cuss, and I'm not going to be dishonest, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to reach my friends. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to do all these things that the world doesn't even understand. So literally, it's like going upstream on Niagara Falls. And that's pretty hard to do, isn't it? And as soon as you stop, believe me, it'll start bombarding you. And you say, well, you lose your balance, and off you go. That's why I try to teach people before we get into the lesson. The hardest thing, and you always wonder, why do people always get saved, and all of a sudden, boom, they leave. All of a sudden, the opposition gets so hard. You know what? They just leave. Well, if I took my little, I have 11, 9, 6, and 2-year-old. If I threw my 2-year-old in Niagara River, could she swim against it? Could she? Could my 6-year-old? Could my 9-year-old? Could my 11-year-old? Could a professional swimmer? Possibly, yes. Well, you got to understand this. That's why those that have families, I try to teach my kids and say, hey, guess what? The rest of the kids, I know they're bad and I know they act bad, but you don't have to be like that. So you're trying to teach them to put their feet in the water, right? And the opposition isn't that bad because, hey, they're still protected by us, but we got to learn to teach them to tread a little water, right? Because unfortunately, I see this happen with parents is that they won't teach their kids to tread any water. All of a sudden, they're 18. Okay, you're in the world now. And they've never learned how to go against the opposition of the tidal wave that's going to hit. And they just didn't do it as a little child. They figure, well, we just won't talk about those things. They're taboo, and we don't want to, we just don't want to talk about those kind of things. You'll be okay. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And then all of a sudden, you wonder, wow, I can't believe it. All of a sudden, this opposition got so bad, and they just left because they didn't know how to handle the unsaved world. Number one, you must realize you live for Jesus Christ. You will encounter opposition from the world, even as a child. You have the privilege of being a grandparent or a parent. We need to teach people you will be opposed because Jesus Christ was opposed. I have to go up to Noah in faith. We live in a community. I believe in reaching our community. I believe in making friends of our community. But there's some kids, and one of my our neighbors are over here, there's some kids you don't want your kids to hang around with. But you know what? Someone occasionally they come over and my kids will go, but they did this to me, they did wrong, and I said, it doesn't matter. You can't control what they do to you, but you can control what you do to them. You be kind to them, even if they are unkind to you. What are you trying to teach them to do? The stream is against them. It's saying, hey, the world's saying, hey, punch them, be mean, step over them, be ugly, be everything. But Christian says, no, be weak, meek, be good. If they hit you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. And you try to teach them as a little kid, hey, start treading water, go against that stream. Because if you don't, you act like them, believe me. By the time you turn 18, that turns into a tidal wave, and you're not gonna be strong enough to go against it. That's why it's so important. That's why in John 15, 18 through 21, it says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Number one, remember, teach your kids. Even learn yourself if you're a young Christian. Hey, everybody else, I know I had the privilege of being here since I was 22, but I had 2 years, right beside me was a homosexual for 2 years. And I got bombarded by him like crazy from age 20 to 22. And he was right beside me. And he was a homosexual, and believe me, I got bombarded because he knew I went to Bible college, he knew everything. But I learned by then, I didn't give in. They'd make fun of me at every single time they could. Oh, you don't want to have your ears hear this conversation and everything else. And I knew the opposition because all I would do, I'd just open up my Bible on my break because we're allowed and start reading it. And you wouldn't believe the opposition that would come out. I mean, they would swear at me and everything else. And I just have to sit there and just take it. Because as soon as I said one thing, I was fired because I was, putting down a homosexual. And I knew it. Everything was in his favor and he was trying to get me mad. So I understand the opposition gets very, very mean. It gets to the point that you just feel like, I give up. I can't take this anymore. But if they hated Jesus Christ, they're going to hate you. They are. Just you got to get that to that point that, hey, if they crucified him, unfortunately, they might not crucify you here, but they'll crucify you by words. Oh, you're one of those self-righteous people. Oh, you think you're better than everybody. Oh, you think you're... Just get used to it because that's just the way it's going to be. I have some of my neighbors think I'm Amish. I have no idea why. I said, why do you think I'm Amish? Because your wife always wears dresses. I said, I have a refrigerator. I even watch movies. I mean, how am I Amish? Because, and I have some parent. I had a neighbor go out to me and offered me a beer, and I said, no, I don't drink. He never spoke to me once again. He said, you're not a man. Should do that, a man. He walked off. And every time he'd see me, he'd just go, whatever. Because he thought, I'm not a man. So I understand opposition. I get it every day. What you got to understand is we can't, just because they're ugly to us doesn't mean we have to be ugly to them. Amen? And number 2b, you will be opposed only if you live for him. If you go along with the world, they will not oppose you. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Some people, the main reason why they don't, it's easy to get saved. Hey, I've seen close to 200 people get saved in Dunkirk, probably close to 150 or more people get saved in the Erie County Fair. It's easy to get saved. But there's a whole nother thing of living for God. Amen? It takes a lot of nerves to live for God. It takes a lot of muscle. It takes a lot of everything. And sometimes you just feel like giving up. That's where the Holy Spirit power in your life comes, is from you not giving up. But what areas will this opposition come from? Your primary opposition will come from those closest to you who know you best. Friends, family, fellow workers, acquaintances. Matthew 10:35-36 says, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father and the daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Some of the hardest people to reach are sometimes your own family. There's nothing like, I get bombarded no matter where I go. It doesn't matter. I don't even have to, and Pastor Cole probably is used to this too, I don't even have to say anything. They know what I represent. When I show up, my aunt, she's a horse breeder. She breeds thoroughbreds and quarter horses. What do you think she makes her money from? Gambling and casinos. So on a Thanksgiving, I remember the day, we're all sitting here, just sitting, eating, and out of nowhere, she goes, so Seth, what's wrong with gambling? And boy, did everybody stop eating, and they all were looking at me like, ooh, I want to see what he says. You know? You're going to get opposed from your closest friends, from your own relatives that say, that's not fair. Well, I just sort of diverted it. So, well, maybe this isn't the time to talk about it. But, you know, when we're done eating, hey, I'll show you some scriptures from the Bible how, you know, we should earn our keep and not try to steal it by betting and gambling. And but that's just the opposition you will get. Amen? So, and sometimes it's from your closest families and fellow workers and acquaintances. And God even said, hey, I'm here to set variance. People always say, well, Jesus is a God of love. Yes, he is, but he's also a judge, our great judge. He will set the goats from the sheep, amen? And I want you to understand is, if you don't get it now, you're going to get it. From unsaved people in general, the two spiritual families have never gotten along and never will. Galatians 4:29 says, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuteth him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Hey, the unsaved world will never understand the saved world. Will they ever understand Christian values? No. Try to get an unsaved politician to understand the Bible values and morals. Can they? Can they? No way. And we expect them to be Christian, but they're not Christian, so I don't expect it. So, always think of that. From society in general, the nature and course of this present world system is against God. We do have a great foundation. We are probably the greatest nation on earth. Because one thing is, always remember this, God chose the Jews, but America chose God. There's a difference. We chose God for our foundation. God chose Israelites. They didn't have a choice in the matter. God chose them. But we said, hey, of all the, you know, gods that are out there, we're choosing God as our founding, because you'll see it throughout our literature. And that's an amazing blessing. But that doesn't mean we're a Christian society today, and we sure aren't like we used to be. But the nature and course of the present world system is against God. This opportunity is communicated subtly through the media. I don't think it's subtly anymore. Not through the literature, especially not the television and the radio. If you're seeing any of the ads lately, it's pretty much, some of them are just pretty much making fun of Christian values. And you must judge those things by the Word of God. 1 John 2, 15 through 17, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Amen. Now, of course, the mastermind behind opposition, of course, we know as Satan. But many times we've got to understand that he is our adversary. The hardest thing for any of you, if you've ever dealt with someone that just first got saved, is trying to explain to them that, guess what? I know this is the happiest day of your life now. You're saved. You know you're going to heaven, but guess what you just inherited? What did they inherit? An enemy. Before he had you. He had you. You were going with him for all eternity in the lake of fire. But now if you're saved and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, he lost your soul. But he's going to wreck your life. And boy, I've seen enough families just be wrecked just by the standards of this world are just way too low, and Satan's just sitting back going, "Good, I got another one. Good, I got another one. Good, I got another one. Oh, yes, I got the media, I got everybody else, just waiting to get some of these other people." Because he is your adversary, he's my adversary. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Hey, he walks around for nothing better. Yesterday, I was at the fair, and I watched the tigers of India. But I'm telling you what, just watch them. They just walk back and forth. A lot of them never stop. Usually the ones that are overheated stop, and they just sit on the ground. But most of the time, they're just walking back and forth, back and forth. And it reminded me of that. The devil's the same way. He just walks back and forth until he sees something. Aha, yes. And then crouches down and attacks. But he never stops. He's always going. He's always looking. Don't give him an opportunity, amen? Please. He's constantly at work in unsaved people. Ephesians 2:2 talks about wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience. Hey, sinners sin because we're sinners, amen? Fish swim because they're fish. I mean, it just comes natural for us to be sinners. Any of you that had children, you did not have to teach them to be bad. It's amazing, isn't it? Except me. I was just that perfect child, yeah. No, not at all. Are you kidding? I got spanked too many times. Too many times I wouldn't tell anybody what I got spanked for. But I wanted to tell you, it was not natural for me to be good. It was natural for me to be bad. And then on top of that, Satan works in that atmosphere better. He loves our old nature. He loves just to push buttons. Hey, why do you think some temptations that get me are some temptations that don't get you? He knows your weak points. He's only been around for 4,000 or plus years. You've been around for, the oldest person here is only 80 years old. He's been around for 4,000 years, and we think we're smarter than Satan. Believe me, he's got enough stuff that he just goes, "I'm going to push his button, push his button, push his button. Oh, you think you can handle a boyfriend and girlfriend? Yeah, watch this. Watch this. Watch it. Oh, you think you can handle that TV? Watch this. Oh, you think you can handle this? You can." And he throws things in there that you know will destroy you, because he's always at work in unsaved people, and he's not even at work even in saved people, because our old nature, he just wants to destroy us. But how can I overcome the opposition? And this is the best thing. And there's many other things here, but some of the best ones are, give a soft answer. Avoid fights whenever possible. The old saying, fight fire with fire, just doesn't put out the fire whatsoever. But give a soft answer, avoid fights. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." You're going to be accused of a lot of things. Even if someone knows you're a Christian, knows what you stand for, I'll say this. It doesn't matter. Go up to someone on the sidewalk and ask them, how should a Christian act? And most unsaved worldly people can tell you. Oh, they should do this, 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 and this, and this. We'll tell you. Oh, yeah, they should at least go to church, and they should, you know, look a little different. They definitely don't, you know, murder, rob, or steal. They'll tell you what a Christian should be. The unsaved world knows it very well. So they know if they catch you doing something wrong, what are they going to do? They're going to be all over you. And the worst thing you can do is blow up and say, "Will you just get off my back?" And then they go, gotcha. That's just the way it is. And sometimes you just got to learn if they yell and scream at you and look for you to fail, look for you to fall. And then they say, "Yeah, we saw you," as if they never fall or they never fail. Amen. But they're looking for the Christian to fall, and they're looking for him to fail. And they're going to be all over you. That's when, instead of blowing up, you have a soft answer and say, "I'm sorry. That's not what a Christian should do, and I shouldn't have done that." And just soft answer. It avoids fights, and it also is good on defense. Please God with your life. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, I love this verse. He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's a beautiful verse. Because even through time, those that are younger in the Lord probably, I've only noticed this now. I use myself as an example like crazy because I'm the only person I know. But think about this. When I was in my 20s, I remember, you'd get opposition and no one would give you the time of day. "Oh, he's just a kid." It's sort of funny. I did the miraculous turn 30-some, and then people all of a sudden, "Oh, he's older now." Some of the same people that used to get over, constantly oppose me in my 20s for the last 8, 10 years. I mean, there's some relatives that took them 10 years for finally them to respect me. But eventually it will come. If you don't give in and you don't give them reason not to respect you or disrespect you, they will come in because it even says there, if God didn't say it, I wouldn't believe it. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. There will be a day when finally they just say, "Hey, you're real. Through the 10 years I've known you, you're real." But it's not always that way, though. There's many times when people just say, "You're not real, and I'm going to keep opposing you because you keep failing and you don't have a good testimony." But if you can live real, oh, we all make mistakes. I'm not saying we have to be perfect. But if we be real, eventually, God, you'll work on those people and give them the peace, and God gives them that peace. And just have faith in God. 1 John 5:4-5. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" I guess when it all comes down to it, it's probably the best thing we could ever have. I mean, there's nothing good in us. I mean, all the opposition in the world, we can't fight it with our flesh, can we? Can we fight it with ourselves? Not at all. But if it wasn't for God's Spirit or God or just putting faith in God to say, "God, take care of this," there is just no way around it. And really, when it comes down to it, it's only God. And he'll give you the faith just to get through a lot of the opposition, to overcome the opposition, and just have faith in God and let God. A lot of times, Moses was one of the meekest men on earth. He let God just take care of the problem. There's two different ways you can take care of a problem. You can either confront it, or you can let God take care of it. Sometimes confronting it sometimes works, but most of the time it just makes it matter, if you notice. You confront them and say, "Hey, I'm tired of you doing this, I'm tired," and then they almost like, "Oh, so that gets on your nerve? I'll keep doing it." Or you just put it in God's hands, get on your knees and say, "Hey, God, I can't do anything about this. You need to change the heart," because only God can change the heart of a person. And when that happens, it's miraculous, isn't it? You say, "Wow, I can't believe this. The guy actually is talking to me now." Well, I can't believe this, because only God can do those things. So keep praying. Love your enemies and help them. Jesus Christ loved his enemies enough to die for them when he didn't have to do it. The world cannot understand this type of love, and those who are seeking the truth will be drawn to it. The best examples I've ever seen in the world are people that I've watched just in my life, preachers, especially big-time preachers. I watched two. Some of them will, anytime they're accused of anything, they'll fight it. They're wrong. But I've also watched other preachers that they get accused of all kinds of things, and they just say, "Hey, letting God take care of it. I'm not going to fight it." The best thing you can do is just love those people back. And I've watched some of those same preachers. I mean, it's hard. I mean, it's hard, but I watch. I mean, there's some things with my dad being a preacher and some other things. He started some churches, helped small churches, and there was one church, he's passed away, so I guess it doesn't matter. There's one church he was kicked out of. He went on vacation, came back, and I guess this family out of nowhere just showed up, and it was nothing like being in the service and watching people swear in church against my own father. And you know what? The best thing I saw my dad did is he didn't swear back at him. He just said, hey. You know, he just walked away and said, hey, that place, that church right now is a museum. Within 2 years after they kicked him out, it turned into a museum. You think God took care of that? Oh, yes, he did. And that was when I was 8 years old. So I've seen a lot of different things on opposition. But I saw that with my own eyes, and I noticed God takes care of it. Just love him back. And he did. Even some of those same people that hated him, one of the persons that was on the opposite, you know how they did this thing where everybody opposed him was on this side. People I've never seen in my life. There's only maybe 50 people in the church, and 150 people showed up that day. and everybody that was for him never came because they said, this is wrong. This one family, it was a family-run church kind of thing. And I'm sitting there, and one of them that was on this side was a missionary to Ukraine. Ended up becoming a missionary to Ukraine because of the way we became good friends. I remember growing up on his pig farm. We used to visit all the time. Got electrocuted by his fences like crazy. But he ended up, he even remembered I remember the relationship. My dad kept getting closer and closer to the man that actually his family, his own parents, opposed him. But they were such good friends, and he kept being kind to him that he eventually said, what we did to you is wrong, and he ended up going into the ministry and becoming a missionary to Ukraine. Just because they treated him right. My dad learned to treat him right. Pray for your enemies. Pray with pure motives. Keep your heart right with God. I mean, we can't say that enough. It's easy to say those things, but it's hard to do. It's hard when you can get accused. I mean, I've seen enough people get accused of things. I've seen myself. Sometimes you just have to sit there and say, hey, no matter what happens, I'm just going to not let it affect my heart. You hear God say it, or God. God says it too in Proverbs, but Pastor Cole, you hear it like crazy. So what does he do? Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because opposition will sometimes, you just got to guard it and learn to pray for your enemies. The best way to conquer your enemy is just pray for him. Be kind to him. Kill him with kindness. Amen. Keep good company. Associate with people who love God and want to serve him. Now, I do believe in reaching the world, and I believe in reaching our community. But I'm not going to hang out with a drug addict. I am not going to hang out with a drunkard. I'm going to hang out with people that love the Lord. Amen? Hey, I can't choose who I work with. Yeah, I can here at church, but if I was in the secular world, I can't choose that. I mean, none of us can choose that. I couldn't choose the homosexual that I worked with for 2 years. I couldn't. That's just what God allowed me to do, and I had to do the job, and it paid for my college. I had no choice in that matter, but I could choose how I treated them. How I, you know, the good company. When I went on lunch break, I wasn't like, hey, Ken, you want to come with me? No way. That's not his name. No. I wasn't asking him to lunch. But the other Christians that I went to college with, I was like, hey, you want to go to lunch with? Because I did want some peace, at least 30 minutes of peace, you know, in my 8 hours, 10 hours of work. So you just got to associate with the right people. The birds of the feather. Okay, I can tell who you are with the company you're around, amen? Or I can tell who you will be with those you hang around. So if you say, well, I don't smoke, but I know they do, you will. So immerse yourself in the Word of God. The only power that will give you power is the Word itself. And how should the unsaved world view me as a Christian? Number four, they should know these things pretty much went over somewhat. Hey, the world should know that you love God, not by your mouth, as much as by your life. 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, but if any man love God, the same is known of God. And in Matthew 5:16 it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I hear people say this, and sometimes we say it too much because sometimes, unfortunately, it's just an idiom that we say, but you always hear people say, well, what really matters is, you know, on the inside. don't let the outside, you know. God looks on the heart. He does. He also looks on the outside, too. God does look on the heart, but who looks on the outside? Can man look on the heart? Can man look in the heart? Look at the heart, look in the heart. Can? Some of you look like, yeah, I think he can. No, he can't. I can't. Some of you are sort of like, I don't know. Only God can see the heart. But unfortunately, man only sees the outside. That's it. That's all he sees. So they should know you by not just your mouth, but how your life is. Your lifestyle should separate you from the world, and your behavior should be particular. Scriptural to them. I mean, 2 Corinthians 6:14-18 won't say all of it, but you know most of it. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's not just talking about marriage. That's just talking about your fellowship. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what community hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And we don't have to hit on that like crazy, but hey, I don't believe in isolation. I believe in separation. We will get opposed by the world. That does not mean we withdraw from the world. Because a lot of times that is the first thing that a Christian wants to do. Let's get away from people. I hear this all the time. And you know people that say, I love God, but I hate people. Don't you ever hear that? I love God, but I just hate people. You know why? Because they're so tired of the opposition, they just withdraw from it. I'm tired of it. I'm not going to go against it. And they start becoming isolationists. People need to see us. They need to see the light. They need to see your behavior. And you just need to just go forward. However, letter C, however, you should not be so particular physical that you lose influence. The unsaved should view you as a moderate in physical matters. I mean, hey, only man can see you on the outside, but don't get to the point that you're so worried about your outward that you're not working on your heart. There's such a balance in life. Moderation is everything in life. I see some people that, you know, hey, if your skirt's not this, or if you do this, if you wear this, if you wear that, I mean, I've seen it all, you know, as soon as someone comes in, it was funny, the other day, hopefully he didn't read this or hear this on, because he might be going on the internet. But there was a man, I talked to him, he is more conservative, he actually gave me a good testimony. His kids say yes sir, yes ma'am. Even when I show up to their house, he lives in Gowanda, they say, Pastor Seth, how you doing? Hey, and their manners are unbelievable. But the guy's a tattoo artist. If he showed up in this church, most of you would say, get out of here. What are you doing here? And it's true. I even told him, I said, I apologize before you ever show up. I've been working on him for about a month. Because I said, you know what, I love your conversations. And I said, you're a Baptist through and through. Because every question he gave me, it was a Baptist answer. And I'm going, wow. He just used to be a Catholic. He studied his Bible. He loves reading it. But he goes, unfortunately, he doesn't do tattoos anymore, but he used to. So, I mean, he's a lot of them, he's sort of, you know, scratched out and left the semi-Christian ones on his, you know, he's got full sleeves and everything else. But I have a good time talking to him when I'm out visiting. His wife is sweet and kind and courteous. And I stood there and I said, you know, unfortunately, we look so much on the outside, which we do. I said, most Christians will not accept you just because of your past. You know, he's got them all over his face and all over his. But if you talk to him, you'll find out really quick that he has almost a better Christian family than most Christians have in our homes. I mean, his kids are unbelievably behaved. And he's got four of them, and they just, I mean, if he says sit there, they won't move. They'll just sit there. I mean, it's just amazing. He even says, I'll get off that rabbit trail. But just be careful. You can be so particular physical that you'll lose your influence. Should see you as a being open and honest in all matters. People need to see that we're real, amen? They should see a living testimony of grace of God. When people look at us, they don't see us. They see, hey, wow, look how God just changed that man. Look how God just changed his family. Look how God just working in his family. Wow. If we draw people to ourselves, we will do nothing. But if we draw them to God, we'll do everything. Amen? Unfortunately, a lot of people look at individuals and say, well, look at him and look what he's done. He, and look at how and his and hers and the kids and this and that. What are you drawing attention to? Yourself and your standards and your self-righteous ways. You will not draw them to Christ that way. But if you draw them, say, hey, it's only by the grace of God. It's just Jesus Christ has changed me and let me be a decent husband, decent father, and that's it. Because that's the only way you'll ever be a good testimony, by just the grace of God. Draw them to Jesus, not to yourself and your own standards. Generally, you should be of a good report, of course. And how should I view the world? Remember, and this is the best thing about it, we sang it, a song about it, I've Got a Mansion. I call it the Filipino song, because every Filipino I know sings it, I got a mansion, you know, because they know they're only a pilgrim in a strange land. Actually, one of the Filipinos that we came, actually we passed his church, is at the tent meetings this week. So for those that went to the Philippines, he was in San Pedro, which is where we were located. He's here all this week. But in Hebrews 11:13, says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were just pilgrims passing through, amen? Our home is in heaven, it's not here. That's why I think I have to remind myself constantly and constantly and constantly, I'm not laying rewards up on earth. Come on, what's the best? I mean, I think I know a 102-year-old in Gowanda nursing home right now. What is 102 years compared to a million? What is it? What's even the percentage? What's 100 years compared to a billion years? A trillion years? Quadrillion years? And the list goes on and on. Will it ever stop? Never. But unfortunately, some of us can't get beyond our physical life here. We're trying to lay up. Hey, this is not our home. Sometimes, all of you that have had, lived in a house more than 5, 10 years, after a while you say, where in the world did I get all this junk? You ever been there? And you just want to get rid of it. Where in the world did I get all this stuff? I want to get rid of it. Because a lot of times we just get sidetracked and think, this is it. This is, I'm going to accumulate all these things on earth. But really, we're accumulating in heaven. Amen. And a lot of times, I wish I could get rid of everything. My wife would allow me. But this world is a mission field to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. Acts 1:8. Says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hey, it's a mission field. It's not a home, it's a mission field. Reach those neighbors. Do you realize if you, where you are right now, the only way your neighbors will ever get reached is probably if you tell them. Because if I went up to them, maybe I could give them the gospel, but I could probably never disciple them like you could, because they know you. I could reach my neighbors probably a little easier than you could, because they know our yard is a crazy yard. Okay? Mrs. Haney is here, not to make it public, but she's kitty corner to us, and you've been over there when there's like 20 kids there. We have a good time, and sometimes I'll send all my kids over to her yard. Because she has 6 and we have 4, so, you know, just 2 of our family, there's a wad there. But we're a mission field. We're a mission field. Always look at your neighborhood, your community, your workforce as a mission field. And just on the last page. Basic questions. I'm not going to go over these very long. But what are my responsibilities to my government? These are sometimes the way we look at the world. Our world view of the world sometimes can be a bad testimony. Now, this is a fine line, because being in the ministry, I know there's 3 different opinions. There's his, hers, and God's. There's always his opinion, her opinion, and God's opinion. And you'll always see that. And even when it comes to the government, I've seen independent Baptists with his, hers, and God's. You know, everybody has an opinion on it. What I do want you to understand is God made the government. He made marriage. He made the government. It is one of the 3 institutions ordained by God, the other 2 being the family and the church. All earthly governments and kingdoms have been given to Satan and are controlled by him. Luke 4:5-6. And therefore are essential against God. However, you are still to submit to the ordinances of God. That's where a lot of people, if you ever notice, the word fundamental has been taken away from us, because many fundamental people have got to the point that they're so anti-government that what does the government do? Surrounds them and kills them. Oh, that's a fundamentalist group. We know that as David Koresh was called a fundamental. That was the first time it was used. And people went, they used our word. Well, you better be careful how we use it then. Because you'll hear fundamental Muslims. All fundamental means is you go by the book. David Koresh had his own book. It wasn't the Bible. It was another one. He had his own book that he wrote. But they called him a fundamental. And he was anti-government. You've got to be careful on that kind of thing. If you do what is right, you have no reason to fear. God will honor you for doing right. Render to the government what is due by law. Hey, we all have to pay taxes. If you think you own everything, just don't pay your taxes and you'll find out what happens. I mean, that's just the world we live in. In Romans 13, 6 through 7, we don't have the time to read all of it. But the worst testimony you can have, and I've seen this over and over again, even sometimes with churches, where the church is a great church and then all of a sudden they didn't pay taxes or they didn't do something right, what happens? They lose their whole entire testimony. Or someone that's a good Christian say, I don't know what happened. Oh yeah, did you hear he didn't pay this and didn't pay his bills and didn't do this and all of a sudden he lost everything. Now I understand when you lose a job and understand that, but when you willfully do it, you willfully say, I have the money but I will not pay. You know, I have the money but I will not pay. You've got to be careful on that. You will lose your testimony. Honor those in authority, even the wicked, without partaking of their wickedness. Commit any adverse situations to God and let Him handle them. I mean, I don't agree with everything that every president ever did in America, but it doesn't mean you have to disrespect them and make fun of them like every other person. We still pray for them. I mean, it would probably be a very hard thing if I asked a question, and I wouldn't want you to answer it, but if I said, even this week, who's prayed for President Obama this week? Some of you would just raise your hand just because you want to raise your hand. But who seriously prayed for President Obama? Some of you, we complain more than we pray. We do. We complain more than we pray. And be careful about that, because you can, hey, I can complain like anybody else. I'm human. Amen. I can complain, but do we pray more than we complain? Do we? It's a good question. And the last one, realize you can legislate morals, but you cannot change man's nature through political action. Man is by nature fallen and sinful and must be changed individually from the inside out through a personal saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer is not politics. The answer is not even morals. The answer is what? One person. And it's not Muhammad, and it's not Buddha, and it's not Confucius. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, if we're ever going to change anybody, we need not to be afraid to say those words. Some of us are afraid to say those words. We think, hey, the world says them openly on the TV, do they not? The only word you see be taken in vain is not Buddha's name, not Muhammad's name, but every movie and every TV show pretty much takes the Lord's name in vain. They're not afraid to say their name, and they're not afraid to say it irreverently or disrespectfully. But it's amazing, as Christians, if we're going to work in the workforce, we need to start saying, hey, if they compliment you, say, hey, it's just the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. If without Him, I wouldn't have a family. I'd probably be a wreck on the streets. But it's by the grace of God, amen? So with that in light, let's end in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much. You've been so good to us, dear Lord. I thank You for the world You've given us, even though it'll never be perfect. It was only perfect and still Adam and Eve sinned, and we have the curse that we have now. But dear Lord, I pray so much that we would not isolate ourselves. Help us that we'd always oppose the sin, and people would oppose us for our stand on things, but dear Lord, help us to be a separate people. But they would see a difference in us by our actions, that even when they yell at us, we're quiet. We're opposite of everything they are sometimes. If they steal, we're honest. If they yell, we're meek. And dear Lord, help us that we would be a light to this ever so dark world. I'm noticing so many people that have so many problems. The more I just witness to more people, I know that they're just hurting so badly and they're just looking for an answer. And many of them don't even notice that there's Christians by them, but they didn't know they were Christians because there was no difference in their behavior. And dear Lord, I pray that we'd be about your business witnessing, but at the same time, we'd be a good testimony as we witness. And we love you and thank you for being so merciful and kind and gracious to us when really in all many, so many times myself, I've failed you and been a bad testimony, said things that I shouldn't have said, or just probably been places I shouldn't have been and done things I shouldn't have done. And by your grace, I'm still standing, and I thank you for that, Lord. Just help us, be with us, and we love you. In your name, amen. Just to close.